Well, good morning. I hope all is well. I'm Brent, and if we've not met yet, I look forward to having the opportunity to talk with you, and I really will take you for coffee, and if even better, we can go get food if we don't know each other. I love to eat, and it's one of my favorite spiritual gifts that I have, is to eat a little bit, but I would love to get to know you. But I do welcome you, and I do want you to let you know something, that this body of believers, this body of this church, is a special group of people. And I don't say that lightly. I've been here about a year. Just in a few days, it'll be a year. And I am so thrilled to be a part of this fellowship. It is a sincere group of people that love the Lord and love people really, really well. And it's a joy. So if this is your first couple times here, just know that you're entering into a very special group of people that really do love the Lord. And they love people really, really well. And we've been having this conversation for the last few weeks, probably about 4 or 5, about 1 Peter. It's a book in the New Testament. And the idea behind 1 Peter is this disciple named Peter that was a little stubborn, a little boneheaded, made a lot of mistakes, wrote this letter to early first century Christians. They didn't call them Christians back then, but they were followers of the way. And the church, the Christians at that point, really were suffering. They were really going through a lot of persecution, a lot of hard times, so much so that many of them had given their lives. And I'm sure the early church, the early Christians at this point in their life were looking, going, man, what's going to happen next? Because King Nero at that point had really amped up his persecution to another whole level, that many of them were thrown in cages with animal skins on them and just packs of wild animals would devour them. Other Christians were dipped in hot wax and put in trees where they would have parties and light them, and just they would illuminate the sky. You can imagine the fear, the worry, because here's what I believe as I read 1 Peter. As we go through life, we will either be persecuted, we won't be persecuted, but every one of us at one point in our life, we're going to suffer some. There's going to be something difficult happen in our life that's going to make us pause for a moment and ask questions. Of a why. Why did this happen to me? And then some of that is self-inflicted, and some of that life just happens, and it's difficult. It's hard. We've all been through that if we were having conversations. And some of that is kind of self-inflicted pain. Anybody ever done that? You make a choice, and you're just like, I can't believe I did that. When I was growing up, I grew up on a family farm, and I didn't do much of the farming side of things, but we would often go on campouts, and my mom and dad are out of town this week, so I can tell this story and not get in as much trouble, but I don't know why they let us do this, but they would always let us go camping and give us very little supervision. If you're a parent of a child, don't do that. But one of the things that we were given as children was a BB gun. Anybody ever given a BB gun as a child? Well, what I'm getting ready to tell you, I don't condone this and don't recommend it, but this is what we did. Somewhere on this camp out, we had this idea that we were going to shoot each other in the back with this BB gun just to see what it felt like. Anybody else ever do that? Okay, I got one person. I'm not on an island up here by myself, but pretty much. But we got this idea, me and my friend named Brad, not the Brad that you know, another Brad, that we were going to shoot each other. And it was one of the BB guns that you pumped, and the more that you pumped, the harder shot it got. So here's what we did. I said, well, I'll go first, but I get to shoot last. So I was going to take the shot first, but then I was going to get to shoot him last. So I walk out, and it's probably from here to the back of the room, and I'm just standing there going, oh, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. And he shot me, and he just pumped it one time. That was the rules. And it hurt like nothing else I'd ever felt. Didn't break the skin, but it hurt really bad, and I was mad at this point, even though that I'd given myself up to this and said I wanted to do it. So he goes walking out, and we had a few friends around, and I just start pumping more and more and more. I'm like, I want him to feel more pain because that really, really hurt. So I shot him in the back with probably, I don't remember how many times I pumped it, but as you would continue to pump, it would get harder to pump and harder to pump. It was hard to pump at that point, but I shot him. But you're like, Brent, why in the world would you do something to inflict that much pain? As boys, we just do things that are not real smart. And I don't know, ladies, y'all don't do stuff like that typically. You just don't. But boys, something's not developed in our brains at that point. And I think that you could prove that biologically, that our brains develop slower. But it's not smart to get shot and just say, I'm going to put myself in harm's way. But typically, here's one thing that I believe that we do as Americans, is that often we will choose comfort over conflict all the time, won't we? That as we go throughout our normal day life, we don't choose, like I did with the BB gun, to put ourselves in harm's way, do we? Because what will we choose over and over again? You're like, Brent, that's easy. I'm going to choose not to get shot. But just on a general level, as you're going through your normal everyday life, if you have a choice of comfort or conflict, which one are you going to choose? Comfort. I mean, that's the whole idea of Lazy Boy is what? Of let's make it really, really comfortable. And you have those. We're going to choose comfort over conflict. But on Veterans Day, aren't we so glad that there are many veterans, even in the room today, that chose conflict over comfort? Because we have benefited all the more for that, have we not? And that's what we're going to dig into in 1 Peter this morning, that these Christians, these early followers of Christ, had chosen conflict over comfort. It would have been much easier for them to run, to hide, to disengage from this and go, you know what? I'm going to go my own way. But Jesus never promised that we would be rich, that we wouldn't face heartbreak, that we wouldn't rain on our vacations, that our plumbing wouldn't go bad. That he never promised that stuff, did he? But what did he promise? Would it be easy or hard? This is what he promised in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, as it is. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And then verse 20. Remember, and we're prone to forget, I think that's why that word remember is there, what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey you also. When your life is aligned with Christ, when you say, I'm going to follow after Jesus, what you are signing up for, and this is a really popular message, is that you are engaging conflict, that your life is not going to be easy because Jesus was persecuted to the max. He gave his life for that, for suffering. And often we have this predisposition for comfort and we will choose it over and over again. But the problem in our American way is many times I believe we choose comfort and neglect where God would call us. That he is actually leading us into things that are going to be really, really hard. Now, persecution on our level, in America, it's really, really different, isn't it? Because I think some people would believe that persecution is kind of something that happened in the Bible times, that happened in history, but it doesn't go on today. But it's just not true. If you look around the world, many believe that it's ended, but it's actually really, really, really bad at this point. And Bryant, if you'll go to that next slide for me, please. It is unbelievable if you look around the world that on average, 322 Christians are killed every month. I want you to hear that number. Because we live in a violent time, do we not? That you can't read the paper or turn on the news and there's not another shooting. But 322 Christians per month are killed for their faith around the world. 214 churches are probably just vandalized, destroyed, they're persecuted for that. There's 772 acts of violence that actually go on towards believers per month. That's beatings, that's rapes, that's tortures, that's all kinds of different things. How many of you want to sign up for that type of conflict? But see, here in America, we have a very easy road. If people are going to persecute us, they may not invite us to a party. They may say negative things about us. They may exclude us, but are we going to get beat, hit, raped, tortured? No, we don't face that type of persecution. We just don't face it. We may not get offered a job or we may be neglected like that, but that's not going to be that extreme. And here's what I want us to count this morning, that there is a very real and ever-present cost to following Jesus. And yes, we may not face the type of persecution that they faced in the first century church or what goes on around the world today, but we still must count this cross. We must not choose comfort over conflict because that conflict, God may be wanting us to learn something that we would never learn any other way. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And Peter's saying this to those, you have the context now, dear friends, Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Why do you think Peter uses the word fiery at that point? Do you think Christians were being burned alive at that point? Yeah. So it was vivid to us. We think fiery trials and we think, oh, that's going to be hard. But to them, it was very descriptive that they were going through difficult times. And he's saying, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you go through as if it were something strange. Often, I think as we go, something comes into our life that's unpleasant, we lean so much towards the side of comfort, we don't go, well, maybe God's taking me through this to grow me, to stretch me, to strengthen me. Because every decision that you have when you're going through conflict, you have a choice. Are you going to trust and say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? Or you lean towards the side of how can I alleviate this pain? I don't want to go through it. It's a much more difficult question to go, God, will you teach me through this? Will you show me what's in the midst of this? Because I promise, God is wanting you to decide, are you going to depend on him or are you going to depend on your own wisdom, your own way? And it comes down to conflict over comfort. And see, many of us, I believe, we're on the bench spiritually. And what I mean by that is we just kind of take the back seat and we just kind of coast. We're on autopilot and we just go our own way. That means we don't pray the way we should. We don't serve the way we should. We don't give the way we should. And at that point, Satan kind of looks at us and goes, you know what? They're not a threat. They're not going to do anything because they are disengaged from the mission of God, from the kingdom of God. They're just doing what they want to do. They're not a threat. But if you start saying, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to do whatever I can for the kingdom, you know what you better prepare for? Fiery trials. They're going to happen. You're going to come under attack. I'll tell you, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, when we started this sermon on 1 Peter, Gary hadn't fallen. One of our elders wasn't in the hospital. There was a lot of things that weren't going on in this church. And it's like Satan says, okay, they're going to teach on 1 Peter that it's not going to be easy, that you're going to go through various trials, and I want you to rejoice. It's like Satan said, okay, I'll start messing with them a little bit. But see, God has great plans in that. God takes notice. The enemy takes notice when we say, okay, we're going to follow at whatever cost. And we have to understand that Christianity is not a playground. It's a battleground. That there are bullets flying around, literally. That those flaming arrows that Satan is going to send out, they're going to stick sometimes. And they're going to be hard and it's going to hurt. But look around. Look around for a moment. We're not meant to go through this life alone. We've got brothers and sisters and people that can hold us up when we can't hold each other up. That can encourage us. That can spur us along towards love and good deeds. Here's what you find. If Peter were writing this message to today's audience, you would think about Libya. That it's normal for Christians to be beheaded for following after Jesus. I have some friends that do ministry in Indonesia where the Muslims are just, that's the predominant religion. And it's for, if someone comes to know Christ in a Muslim family, you know what happens? They're disowned. They basically say, you've got to get out of this house or worse. And that's, if Peter was writing that in today's times, that's what he would be thinking about. Now, in America, if a young lady says, you know what, I'm going to follow after Christ, I'm going to be a college student that follows after Jesus, it may mean this, that she has a commitment to purity that she may have only a few guys that will go out with her, that may not ask her on a second date. That may be some of the persecution that she would go through. For you, maybe this Thanksgiving, because of your stance and you're following after God, maybe your family won't treat you the way that you should be treated or the way that you would want them to be treated. That you will face some level of persecution because you believe in Christ. Let's read this. Let's go back to the passage. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Then verse 13. Instead, be very glad. Isn't that so? It seems like the polar opposite of what you should be. Hey, be prepared. You're going to go through fiery trials of various kinds. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be very glad. I want the joy of the Lord to be present. But it's crazy. Wick Ashburn, and I don't think he would mind me saying, ended up in the hospital this week. And he had nasal surgery, and basically it just would not stop bleeding. He's fine. Everything's good. But talk about fiery trials. But Margie told me this. She said, Brent, I have a peace that can only come from God. I'm not worried. How does that happen as you go through a hard time and your husband's bleeding and he can't stop bleeding? It's this. Instead, be very glad. Our trust is not in our own ability, not even in doctors. Be very glad, because for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. What does that mean? That we, because of those trials that we go through, instead be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Here's what I believe about that passage. Anytime I can be aligned with Christ, it's a really, really good thing. If because I'm going through trials that I'm very glad and I align myself and I can even be said in the same sentence that I'm a partner with Christ, that's something to celebrate. That's something that is very significant. So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Can y'all imagine that? That one day, what's it say? One day. Every tribe, every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what's coming. That's the glory. And can you imagine? We catch little glimpses of it. We saw a little bit of it here this morning in the testimonies, the joy that was presented. But can you imagine full blown getting to see the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world? That's going to be something, isn't it? That's what our hope is in. That's where we go. But see, so often, I believe, we seek comfort. We seek pleasure. We seek ease. That's what we want to do. We avoid conflict, dodge any opposition. We take the path of least resistance. And there's going to be a little graphic that comes up. This is how we often operate, I believe. That life's empty, and we're just kind of feeling, we don't have a lot of just good feelings. So we pursue comfort. And then when we pursue comfort, we avoid opposition, and our faith weakens. Has anybody ever done that before? It's a vicious cycle that we feel empty, we pursue comfort, we avoid opposition, and we just get weaker. But here's the opposite side of that coin. That we say, okay, we want to grow closer to Christ. We live boldly, saying, God, wherever you want to go, wherever you want to send me, I'm willing to go. Then we face opposition. Opposition's not fun, is it? But as we face opposition, our faith strengthens. Why? Because we're not depending on our own power, our own ability. We're saying, God, I need your help. And any time we get to the place that we are depending on Christ for our lives, for our everything, the more we depend on him, the more our faith is going to grow. The more we depend on ourselves, you know what's going to happen? Our faith is going to become weaker. But this is a cycle that many of us, we live in this. Your faith is either going to get weaker or it's going to get stronger, whether you depend on yourself or you depend on Christ and you live boldly. Let's go back to 1 Peter, verse 19. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, how would there be a suffering in a manner that doesn't please God? You're depending on yourself. You're saying, God, I'm just going to do this on my own ability, and you're just miserable. Because what happens often when we're in conflict, you know what we do when we suffer in a manner that wouldn't please God? We complain. Anybody ever complained? Maybe it's just me, but if you're suffering and you're going through it and you're going depending on yourself, you're going to complain. Keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. Isn't that so amazing? That passage, I read it and read it and read it this week. But who created you? God created you. Created you with a purpose and a plan. Keep on doing what's right. Trust your lives to the person that created you. Did you create yourself? No. Why do we trust ourselves to get out of the messes that we're in? Or we choose comfort over, God, I'll choose comfort. I'll choose my lazy boy. I just want to go through that. But keep on doing what is right. Put your trust in him. Don't cut corners. See, God in 1 Peter tells us over and over again, be holy because I am holy. Don't cut corners. There are values that we must have if we're going to follow after Christ. We are going to live different lives in this world. That means we can't cut corners. We have to live the way that he's called us to live. And that means that this world that we live in is not our home, that heaven is our home. And we have to live that way because he will never fail us. Because the world is getting darker and darker and darker, is it not? And a lot of people get really discouraged about that. And they're like, Brent, it's just such a bad world. But you know what? When it gets darker, you know what that gives us the opportunity? For Christ and his light to shine through our lives even more brighter. And it's all about perspective. We could put a glass of water up here and we could say, is it Brent, is it half full or half empty? And some of us would have the perspective, well, Brent, it's half empty. But see, God wants us to look at that. There's great opportunities all around us. If we will live lives of love and salt and light, people will take notice and go, there's something different about them. They love in a way that I cannot understand. Why would we love that way? It's only because we've seen and experienced true love in Christ. That he, 1 John 3:16, that's how we know what love is. Because he died and gave his life for us. It doesn't make any sense. We didn't deserve that. We couldn't earn it. But he gave his life up freely. See, many of you may think it's very easy to claim to be a Christian in our world. And it is. And many would think that persecution is going to weaken the church. But it actually does the opposite. When persecution in the church is at its highest level, you know what happens? The church grows like wildfire. That's why outside of America, you know what's happening to the church where it's being persecuted? It's growing like crazy. In America, what's happening to the church? I mean, stats over and over again say that it's declining. And I think part of that's because the persecution has kind of just went, they don't like me, they don't like me. But that's why the church has grown. So as it gets darker and darker, you know what we have opportunity to do? To be the light of Christ. And you know what's going to happen to the church? It's going to grow. Because we are going to be that salt and light. But many of us would worry and say, Brent, don't worry when you are persecuted. But I would worry if there's no persecution in your life. I would worry more about that than worry when you're persecuted. And see, and I want to put this big umbrella over this. That there is persecution and then there's suffering. And we have the response is the same. I'm saying, God, I have to depend on you during this time. Because some of the suffering you're going through, God has great purpose in it. And it's not self-inflicted. And you're just having to bear the weight of it. And that's hard. And that's not fair. Life's not fair. We know that. But that's when we trust in a holy God that has all wisdom that we can't even begin to comprehend. We have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And put yourself in a dependence upon Christ to say, God, I need you. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Fast forward in just a little bit. In the same way, you who are youngest must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility. What does that look like? To dress yourselves in humility. That's you saying, you know what? I don't have any power, any authority on my own. God, you're it. As you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, often we will have this elevated mindset of ourselves that we're better than other people. But to dress yourself in humility, we all become equal. It's not that we're better, because as Christ followers, there's nothing good in us other than Jesus. It's not us up here and the world down here. The only good thing in us is Christ. So that's why we have to have this amazing heart to dress ourselves in humility as you relate to one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Going to verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God? Where you admit that you're not God, that you are dependent upon him? That you have no ability in and of yourself to do anything that's right, to have any success, to have any hope? Because I know as we get older, what do we start thinking about more? The end's coming, right? I used to never think about it. Now I'm 41 and I'm like, oh gosh, that's half my life. My life's going quick. And you're like, Brent, you're a young man. And I see the smirks in the room, but it happens really quick. I've got a daughter that's turning 13 in May. Scares me to death. It should. I know, right? It should. It does. But life is really, really, really short. And as we get older, we start thinking about the end's coming. Have you ever humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, where you said, God, I need you. I can't do this life alone. Maybe you've lived most of your life independent of God and said, God, I can do this life alone. But there's something missing in your life. You know it. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Is that hard to do? And that's such a powerful verse. Give all your worries and cares. Because we all have them, right? And I think it's interesting that he puts worries and cares side by side. Because it's all encompassing. Because we worry and there's things we care about. And sometimes we worry about the things that we care about. And that's just the way we do life. But he says, give all of that because God cares for you. Isn't that so great that God has this unconditional, always and forever type of love for you. That he says, give me that, I can take it. And you start thinking about, well, if we give all of our worries and cares to God and it's just me, that's a lot to give, right? But then we go person by person all around the world. That's a lot. But God is infinite. We can't even begin to comprehend that he can take all of our junk, all of it. Anything that you worry and care about, he can do that. Verse 10, skipping ahead just a little bit. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Isn't that so encouraging? That we're all going to suffer. That we're all going to go through things that are difficult for us. But this promise that we have, after you suffered for a little while, and you may say, Brent, I've suffered for a long time, and maybe you have. But I encourage you to look at your life, at this world, in terms of eternity. That this life, scriptures say very, very clearly that it is what? It's a mist. It's a vapor that you'll see it on the below the riverbanks and in the valleys. But what happens in just a moment? It's gone. And that's what this life is going to be. We have to have an eternal, a heavenly perspective. And you're like, Brent, that's hard. It is hard because I have lots of worries and cares. But this promise from Scripture is after you've suffered just a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you and place you on a firm foundation that is on Christ himself. And I love this last verse. All power to him forever and ever. Isn't that so good? That he has it all, that he can bear the weight of that, that God himself can be trusted no matter what. And see, the calling that he has given us, we talked about this last week, is to live out genuine love because we've experienced that, that shows up in the face of real need. There's real need all around us, every day, every moment. The question is, will we choose comfort or conflict? Because to engage this life of following Christ, we're going to have to choose conflict often. And I want to ask you a few questions as we kind of wrap up our time together. And we just have a moment left, just about 5 minutes. Have you ever experienced any type of persecution in your life? I think it's a valid question to think about. Have you suffered? Are you choosing to trust in your own way to get through that? Or are you dependent upon Christ? Let me ask you this question, and this is a hard one. What are you worried about right now? What's going on in your life that just has you weighed down? It feels like almost that you can't even move. You have an opportunity to say, God, I need you to help me carry this. I can't carry it. And you're like, Brent, I've given it to God, but it just keeps coming back. And that's why it's a daily thing. We have to surrender and say, God, here it is, day by day, minute by minute. And you have to look around and go, I need some people to help me carry this. Because for some of us, we carry the weight of the world on ourselves. And we don't depend upon other people to help us. We're not meant to do life alone. We're meant to live in community. This passage came to my mind this morning. Yesterday, I was coming back from seeing Wick in the hospital. And I had one thing on my mind after that. I had a joy visiting with him. And he is cutting up being Wick, which is really, really funny. If you've ever been around Wick Ashburn, he's a trip. And he was joking with the nurse, and I was just laughing about that. But I had one thing on my mind. I was coming back from Asheville, and Chick-fil-A was on my mind. I was thinking sweet tea from Chick-fil-A, and I could just taste it in my mouth. And I'm driving along, coming back from Asheville, and in an instant, this car darts out. And I'm in the left lane. It's like a four lane with a median in the middle. And it comes into my lane. And I'm going 50, maybe 55. It's 45. I could have been speeding. That's a bad thing that I do. But I'm just going along. They come out in my lane and stop. And I swerve. Thankfully, there was nobody in this lane and I missed them. But it was one of those moments that happened like this that I'm like, that was really, really quick. Could have been bad. So thankful that God protected me, that I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't distracted because any given moment we could be distracted, right? But this passage came to my mind. You suffered along with those who are thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you. So they've suffered everything. You accepted it with joy. Could we do that? You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Isn't that a great promise? Then verse 35. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember that the great reward it brings you. In the Greek, Don't throw away this confident trust. What that means is that we don't swerve. When conflict, when suffering comes our way, we don't pray, God, take this away. We say, God, what are you trying to teach me? We don't swerve. And see, I think we have this perpetual motion that we have as adults, as followers of Christ in America. You know what we do over and over and over again? Conflict comes in our way, and what do? We swerve. We're like, I don't want to go through that, God. I'll take the long way around. And many of us have been on the long way around of learning the hard way. But don't throw away this confidence. But instead, verse 36, have patient endurance is what you need to know so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And see, many of you, I wonder if most of your life you've swerved. You say, God, I don't need you. I'm just going to do life my way. And maybe you're coming towards the end and you're realizing that you don't have hope. You're maybe a little concerned about what's coming in the future. And you're just in this habit of swerve. I don't need to be dependent upon God. And my prayer for you this morning is really, really simple. Is that you will just admit that you need God. And if you're going through persecution, you're going through suffering, instead of swerving, you'll say, God, I need you right now. And what I want to do is I'm going to ask Isaiah to come back up to the front. And I just want us to take a moment and let this kind of sink in. Of God, I need you. I need you right now. I need you more than I've ever needed you. And you may want to come up and pray. You're free to do that. You may want to sit where you're sitting. You may want to stand. You can do whatever. But I just want you to think in your life a minute, if you're going through persecution, if you're going through suffering, or maybe you've never come to the place in your life where you said, God, I need you. Allow God to work in and through this moment. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you move in this place. Lord, you know exactly what every person in this room needs at this moment. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to trust you and to realize that you can be trusted no matter what is going on in our lives. Lord, we admit our complete and utter dependence on you, God. Work in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand for a moment and receive the benediction. I'm so thankful when we can't stand, as the song sings or says, that we can fall on Him. And my prayer for us today, Jesus, is that we would fall on You. Every person in this room, God, that we would declare our absolute and utter dependence upon You, God. We cannot do this life alone, and we're so thankful that You're in our midst. Lord, I pray that You work and move in our lives and send us from this place today with a renewed passion and love for You, God. Help those that see us on a daily basis see something that's different, that's unique in our lives, God. And that's not anything that's in us, God. That's You. Lord, send us from this place today declaring that You are great, that You are good, that there is none like You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.